All right. Presented by BetMGM as we welcome you in. I'm Patrick Maher, laughing from Vegas here. If we could just rewind 2 minutes and get what Michael was talking about, I think we would break some records, my friend. There he is, Michael. Man. In Jersey. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm doing wonderful today. How are you, Patrick? Huh? Got a little summer going on here. It's 107 today out there.
107, windy and 107. The dog won't walk. It's too hot to do anything. So we're going to talk some football. We're going to talk some betting. Why not? What's better than that? How's it going there, by the way? Are you starting to feel, because just so people understand, Michael's there in Jersey, you know, the hotbed of what's been happening. Is it starting to relent a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, Governor Murphy allowed, the sports teams to go back to work if they can. I think we'll eventually maybe see stage two opening up here sometime around the 1st of June. The casinos have not opened up. Our poor friend Thomas Gable over at the Borgata, I'm hoping that he gets back to work soon, and the casinos in Atlantic City, so there can be some life come back to that city. But pretty much it's been quiet. You know, we're so far out of the real epicenter of which was essentially North Jersey. And of the 11,000 New Jerseyans who have lost their lives to this horrendous pandemic, a lot of them have been in homes. A lot of them have been in senior citizen type homes. So that's really tragic. And hopefully we have gotten through it. It seems like the cases are steadily coming down. So there is optimism in the air, and we're going to play football. I really believe that.
Well, we got a packed hour here. We're going to have Gord Stellick, former NHL GM, to talk about, of course, the NHL with their proposal, abandon the regular season, go straight to the postseason, 24-team format as far as the postseason instead of the traditional 16. We'll get into that as far as a betting market. Also, our buddy William Hill is going to be joining us, break down some of those totals over unders as far as season win totals in the NFL. You mentioned betting, and our buddy TG, Thomas Gable, there at the Borgata in Jersey. How about Washington, D.C.? So states are increasingly, obviously, especially what's happening with the pandemic, eager to use sports betting as a source of income or revenue. And now it looks like D.C., the District of Columbia, is about to launch legal and regulated sports wagering. It's going to be government run through apps. So by my count, Michael, that brings us to a count of 22 total states that have legalized wagering plus the District of Columbia.
Uncle Sam's involved, finally, right? I mean, he even got smart and said, you know, this is the way to do things. I think this is awesome. I mean, look, let's face it, it's all going to be done via the phone. And as you keep telling people all the time, shop for the best numbers. So by more states opening up, by more people being in touch, there's obviously going to be an opportunity to have variances in the market. There's going to be different numbers out there, and you've got to pay attention to it. It doesn't really require much thinking or work. You just got to search online to see what book has it in a state where you are. I think it's awesome. I mean, the same thing here in New Jersey. It's been great. You could see every week when we were at the casino, more and more people got used to using the betting machines as opposed to going to the window, which is really important.
Yeah, so this one, as you mentioned, Uncle Sam getting involved, the D.C. Lottery is going to run it, so it's going to be state-regulated via an online app run by the lottery, as I mentioned. But we're just 2 years out since the Supreme Court shot down the federal ban on sports wagering. And like I said, we're almost halfway there, 22 states, the D.C., District of Columbia. And there's some optimism, Michael, here in Vegas. I have a sense that the South Point might be jumping in a week or two.
Oh, I think there's no doubt. I mean, it has to. I mean, the casinos in Arizona are opening up, and I think, you know, we've given this some time to handle it and to see how it works. And, you know, every day that Shanghai and Disney goes through without any rise, I mean, you could see that gatherings can work if they're smart about how it handles. So I'm hopeful for the South Point. I'm hopeful for sports to get back. I mean, I love the hockey news. I love the NBA news as well yesterday. We heard a little bit about them. They're going to come out on Friday with what their plan is going to be down at Disney and see how that works out. So I'm excited about all the news that we're hearing. I think what the NHL did is exactly what the NFL is going to do. I don't think they're going to waste time bringing players back to camp when instead they're just going to bring them and let's get going with the season.
Gord Stellick's going to join us, former NHL GM there with the Maple Leafs. We're looking forward to that conversation. We'll apply it to the betting market, of course. Some news on the NBA, as Michael just mentioned, but we're getting underway here on the Lombardi Line. Again, at M Lombardi NFL, as we welcome you in, it is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Vegas. There he is, Michael Lombardi. Okay, help us clarify what's happening with the onside kick and the rule changes. Remember, the NFL changed the kickoff rules before the 2018 season to target making it safe for obviously, so no running start before the ball is kicked. With that, online kick success recovery, the rate dropped precipitously, Michael. From 92 to 2017, it was right around 21%. In 2018, the rule change, 7%, 12%. In comes an all fourth and 15 as opposed to the onside. The vote is tomorrow. What's your take on this?
I don't think it passes. I really don't. I think it's too gimmicky. I really do. I think it's way too gimmicky. I think, look, you know, if we want to fix the onside kick, we got to fix it from special teams, not from offense. And again, I think you put too much into the players' hands in terms of the officials' hands. What happens on, you know, you get a pass interference call. That means you get to try to do it again. You get an illegal touch, you get to do it again. I mean, it becomes problematic. And what happens in the second quarter, if you're behind and you start utilizing this, I would rather have it played, you know, like, look, let's just maybe limit it to players with jersey numbers in the 20s or whoever. I mean, figure out a way to where we can minimize the injury, but also not take the play out of the game, because I think it's an important play in football and it's a special teams play. I can't imagine that they're going to get 24 votes for this.
So there is an alternative. They updated the proposal on the 4th and 15 onside alternative, stating the play will be untimed. But now, again, last year, teams were 2 of 7 on 4th and 15, a 28.6 conversion rate. So you're just thinking the owners are going to look at this as a gimmick.
I do. I mean, in 28.6, I mean, you know what? At 28.6, if you're down in the third quarter, you go for it. I mean, you got a better chance. I mean, like, to me, it's given the team that has built the lead, you're punishing them for building the lead and rewarding a team to come back. Now you say, well, you got to stop them. Well, typically, sometimes during a game, your opponent is the clock. Your opponent is the clock, not the team you're playing. So you'll give up yards in exchange for time being run down on. And your players get tired being out on the field. But you know, at the end of the day, you're in secure in control of the game. Like this rule, I'm not sure anybody ever gets control of the game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do as far as the approval process tomorrow. Now, there's a couple of things before we get to William Hill. He's going to come in with the totals as far as season win totals. But I wanted to throw a couple things at you, Michael, and we're going to start with the Texans. Okay, so William Hill Sportsbook favors the Texans to miss the postseason. Houston has made the postseason for the past five seasons, but they are favored right now at minus 180 to miss out on the postseason this year, plus 155 coming back the other way to make it. Perception-wise, I think the Hopkins trade has done a lot as far as the value of this Texans team. They're favored at minus 180 to miss the postseason. Your thoughts on the Texans?
I mean, I just think to me, what I'm worried about with Houston is not their offense. What I'm worried about with Houston is their defense. You know, I don't care. You know, J.J. Watt puts on that jersey, but he's not the same dominant J.J. Watt that he once was. I know it's going to be hard for him to play less plays, but I think he has to play less plays. I think he has to be able to, you know, keep himself fresh for the down and distances that they really need him in the third and fourth quarter. And I think the defense really struggled last year. Now, I know they had a bunch of injuries, and I know they went through a lot of problems in the secondary. They claimed Vernon Hargraves off the waiver wire. They had to play him. You know, Roby wasn't healthy all season. But they have got to improve defensively, and they've got to make sure they've got enough defensive linemen. You know, Ross Blaylock, the kid they picked in the second round, has got to come through for him. He's got to play. I mean, last year, you know, they lose Rieger to the Bengals, who offered a huge amount of money to sign him up there. He was one of their better run players. I mean, they didn't stop the run last year. They were 24th in the National Football League in yards per attempt against the run. So to me, all the issues I have with Houston have nothing to do with Bill O'Brien, the general manager. It has everything to do with how talented are they on defense and can they hold up on defense?
And they have, if you take a look at their schedule, if we can throw the Texans up there, their start to their schedule is brutal. The Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Vikings, those four teams last season went a combined 44-20. So a brutal start for the Texans. And as you take a little bit of a deeper look in the Texans, week one, there you see the schedule, Michael. Week one, they're a dog catching 9.5. That's the biggest dog of the week as far as week one and opening up the season at Kansas City, September 10th in the kickoff game. So there you see it at the Chiefs Sunday Night Football, the Ravens, Steelers, and Vikings. That's a brutal first four for the Texans.
No doubt. You know, and they've got to be, and look, their defense has got to be up to the par immediately. It can't be, you know, Anthony Weaver, their new defensive coordinator. Look, he's a very good coach, and I think this is a great opportunity for him to shine as an assistant coach. He gets to take over a team and see what he can do. He'll still have Romeo Crennel to kind of help him, which I think is tremendous. Give him some advice and counsel. But he better be good defensively in the first 4 weeks because, you know, you're playing Mahomes, then you play a different style. You know, you're playing the speed. You know, it's like fighting Muhammad Ali, and then you come back and you got to fight Joe Frazier in week two, and then you've got all the Steelers. Where's Big Ben? And then at least you get the Vikings at home, which perhaps maybe you could take advantage of that just based on the fact that, you know, get some pressure on Kirk Cousins, force him to play outside his element. But those are four hard games. And then Jags, Titans, Packers, that's not, you know, you catch your breath. You got, obviously you got the Jags. I mean, could you see them, Patrick, going, you know, 1-6 in the first 6 weeks? I mean, you know, you could. I mean, they're going to have to beat some really good teams. Playoff team, almost playoff team, playoff team, no playoff, playoff, playoff. I mean, it's so remarkably different. Like when you look at the Bucs last year, they won 7 games, right? And the 7 wins, they didn't beat one team that made the playoffs. In their 9 losses, most of them, 6 of them were against playoff teams. So, you know, playoff teams can beat playoff teams. We can see it with Houston. They're going to have to do that.
Yeah, it's just interesting. And you always talk about the respect that isn't given to O'Brien, which I think is legitimate, but 7.5. Now it's favored to the under at -125. In division, they're +350 and Super Bowl 66-1. Remember, it's a 10-6 team last year. Now, Brandon Cooks comes in to replace Hopkins. It's not the same player. We get that. But O'Brien always seems to find a way to get it done. You know, looking into it, it is, you know, Hopkins was clutch on third downs for this team. And I dug a little bit deeper. Watson only had 9 career dropback attempts without Hopkins in the lineup. So been a bit of a security blanket. But if I'm coming back the other way and fighting for this team, if we can throw up that schedule just one more time, again, I think 9.5, catching 9.5 week one is a disaster. I mean, that's a huge number specifically. My guess is, Michael, there's no fans there at Arrowhead in week one on Sunday Night Football. So if I'm catching 9.5, I'm feeling pretty good as a Texans backer.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, look, they can score. I mean, they're going to be able to score. They have talent. I mean, as long as they have that quarterback under center who can make plays. And I don't know, where is the Chief defense going to be in week one? Will Chris Jones be there? Will Frank Clark be as good as he was at the end of the year? Look, we know this. We know it's going to be a little bit of the offense should have an advantage, especially an offense that's had a quarterback who's been together. And certainly Mahomes will do great things. But I think that's, you know, they're not going to need as much time to gel as they are as some of these other teams, like Tampa, for instance. They're going to have to put a whole new offense in. They're going to have to adjust to Brady. Brady's going to have to adjust to them. That's going to take some time. Whereas I think the Texans, the Chiefs, the Ravens, they can hit the ground running.
By the way, it's jumped up at DraftKings, the Texans at the Chiefs to open the season on Sunday Night Football. It's now a 10-point spread with the Chiefs laying it. And by the way, huge total here, 55. That is a big number to open up the season as far as a total.
I mean, look, yeah, let's face it, Patrick. Everybody has recency bias when it comes to the Chiefs. We've seen them overcome so many leads the last time. That's what we remember about the Chiefs. We forget they lost to Houston in Kansas City last year, and they had a 17-3 lead on the Texans at that point in the game, and they came back and fought their way back in that game. Again, I think everything about the Texans year, if they go over that 7 number, it's because Anthony Weaver's done a tremendous job coaching the defense, and they've gotten production out of this defensive players, and they've been able to add defensive linemen. They've got another rusher to go along with Whitney Mercilus. They need to have that. You know, they need that. Jacob Martin gave them 3 sacks last year. He still can rush off the corner. He's the kid they got in the Clowney deal. I think that certainly can help them.
All right, so in-game wagering continues to become more and more popular, obviously. So does in show texting. If you take a look at your phone right now, Michael, we've got our buddy Mike Palm texting us. It looks like Derek Stevens and the D and Circa have a big announcement they're making with a video. You know how they do with their videos. So we'll monitor that during the break. We'll come back and see what Mike Palm's got up his sleeve for us. Okay, now there's another one I wanted to take a look at. Kenyon Drake has high hopes for the Cardinals. Okay, so he was talking, obviously, this will be his first full season. We just mentioned Hopkins. The Cardinals are a team that, you know, many bettors, to be fair, here in Vegas are high on. 5-10-1 last year. There's optimism in the desert. Patrick Peterson has come out and said, you know, this current roster that he's on is the best he's been a part of. DeAndre Hopkins, Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker out of Clemson. You're looking potentially, if you're backing the Cardinals this season and potentially the most difficult division in the NFL, you're looking for that second year bump and jump from Kyler Murray a la Lamar Jackson, right? So again, we'll dig a little bit into the schedule because it's streaky and it's an odd schedule for the Cardinals, but let's start here. Optimism in the desert. Do you buy it?
Well, I think again, it starts with their defense. I mean, you could not get any worse than they were last year on defense. Vance Joseph, you know, even with the premier player in Chandler Jones, they couldn't stop anybody. I mean, they were 30th in most every single statistic you could possibly imagine. Now they've added some pieces here. They add Jordan Phillips. That certainly helps inside. You know, they add Jordan Hicks to go along with it. You know, they get that. They get two guys in the front seven. Then they get Isaiah Simmons. They had a chance to trade that eighth pick in the draft to the Atlanta Falcons. They turned it down. Atlanta wanted Isaiah Simmons at that pick, but they turned that down and they picked him. So where are they going to play him? I think they're going to move him around, utilize his speed. So that helps them. And I think when you look at the team, you know, they are better talent wise and where they were last year on offense, once Kingsbury figured it out. And I think Kliff did a really good job of figuring it out. He had no red zone offense when he came into the league. It was apparent when he played Baltimore in week two, he had a chance to win that game. He couldn't get the ball in the end zone. And as the season went on, I think they've improved. But when you break down this defense and you break down what they can't do, I mean, it's a challenge, and I think Chandler Jones is really a good player. Now, if they added Everson Griffith, you know, now they're starting to get two rushers in there. You know, they're starting to make some progress. But look, they've blown too many picks. Haason Reddick, their first-round pick, they tried to trade him during the draft. They couldn't get anything for him. This is going to be a real challenge for them, to me, to upgrade themselves defensively. And then here's the other issue I have with them is how good can they be defensively with all they do is practice against an offense that is a finesse offense.
Right.
Right. So like whenever has this style of offense had a great defense, you know, Mike Leach had a good defense at Washington State. I think Alex Grinch the year before he went to Ohio State, that was a good defense. Now, you know, they collapsed against better teams, but that was a good, like, tell me when this style of offense has been really good to develop a really good defense. And I would say to you, probably never.
Kenyon Drake thinks the Cardinals are going to be a nuisance in the NFC West. You see their win total there at VSiN set at 7. So we've got to get to 8 wins if you're going to go over that win total of 7. Let's go ahead and take a look at the schedule for the Cardinals, because I think it's an interesting schedule. I was digging through it a little earlier today, Michael. I think they easily could start. Well, easily is a stretch, but they could start 4-1. All right. So they're at the 49ers. You want to hang an L there. Redskins, Lions, and Panthers and Jets weeks 2-5.
I mean, this is the perfect storm, right? I mean, they're playing that fourth place schedule. I mean, they, you know, Redskins, Lions. I mean, there's nobody, no playoff team here. The Cowboys aren't a playoff team. Then they have the 49ers and Seahawks, two playoff teams. Then they come back with a bye. Dolphins, Bills, Seahawks. I mean, look, I think they could get to 7. I definitely do. I think that 8-8 to me seems a little bit of a stretch, but the schedule's soft. It really comes down to how good are they on defense. And I just don't trust them, Patrick, on defense to get to 8 wins.
And I always try to look when I'm looking at a schedule, you know, some of the streakier schedules, how many, the homestands and road trips. If you look at the Cardinals, homestands of 2-3-2, and specifically you see a homestand of 3, which actually equates to 4, Michael, in weeks 7-10, because they host the Seahawks, then they get a bye in week 8, come out of the bye with the Dolphins at home, and then stay at home for the Bills in week 10. That's a nice stretch there to stay home, get comfortable, get healthy, and specifically have the Dolphins coming out of that bye.
Yeah, the only challenge you got, and I would assume if I'm Arizona, I'm staying on the East Coast between the Panthers and the Jets game. I mean, why go back to Arizona? You know, stay right there, go up and play. And then you've got the three road, then you got Dallas. You know, I mean, to me, if I were Cliff Kingsbury, I would look at weeks 4, 5, and 6 as a bonding. I would want to bond my team during that time. And those are games that you can bond your team and really come out ahead. It's going to be a challenge for them because, once again, how good can they be defensively? That's the key. Can they get another pass rusher to go along with Chandler Jones, who was great? Can they force turnovers? Can they cover? Patrick Peterson didn't play as well last year. Nobody did on defense. Can they cover? Who is Byron Murphy going to be the best corner? Kevin Peterson. You know, when you go through some of these guys, who is it? A lot of their defensive backs are guys they signed off the street, other than Murphy, who they drafted in the second round.
You know, the 49ers were a bit odd last year because they played in a ton of tight games. And the reason I bring that up is because week one with the Niners hosting the Cardinals, that's a big number. The 49ers are laying 8.5 and a total of 45.5.
I think I'd be inclined to take the Cardinals here. I really would. I think there's going to be a little bit of a hangover with the 49ers. I don't think they're just going to turn it off and on. And look, we remember last year. They played them really well last year. They were close games last year. And I think that anytime you play a divisional rival, especially now that Kingsbury's had a whole offseason to see what Saleh does defensively, and can they block? I mean, the key to Arizona has always been their offensive line. Are they going to be improved in the offensive line? Can they block? Can they get Humphreys to be a legitimate left tackle? Can they get Marcus Gilbert to play at right tackle? I mean, that's the key for their football team. They've got to improve that line.
Okay, up next, our buddy William Hill is going to join season win totals of the Raiders, the Seahawks, the Steelers, the Bucks, and the Falcons as we continue along here on a Wednesday. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Come on back with William Hill. Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off and free shipping with code VSIN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com. Just use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Okay, Michael, our buddy Mike Palm from the D and Circa, he sent us the tweet. It looks like, and Derek Stevens is always like this. I mean, they're benevolent there at the D and Circa. It looks like they're going to be buying 1,000 plane tickets for, you know, customers and bettors that want to come to Vegas, get out of town. And so Derek Stevens and the D going to hook up 1,000 people, it looks like, with flights to come out to Vegas. And I told you at the beginning of the show, there's a lot of optimism, and that's a great sign.
That's awesome. I mean, look, that's a great promotion too. I mean, just come. If we build it, they will come. And I mean, Derek's taking it one step further. If we build it, we'll even bring you here. So you got to love that. I mean, that's awesome. I can't wait for Circuit Oaken up. I mean, when Mike was on the other last week, it was just amazing to look at that outdoor sports book, and especially with 107 degree weather. I mean, to sit in the pool and watch sports. I mean, what's better than that, right?
Can't beat it. Check out Circa Sports right now for the promotion. Great job by Mike Palm and Derek Stevens over there at the D and Circa. Okay, as we welcome you in, it is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick. He's Michael. We're going to be joined by our buddy William Hill, of course, Point Spread Weekly contributor Will Hill. And we're going to go through some totals here as far as season win totals, which he does a great job at @NotTheWillHill on Twitter. And we're going to start here, buddy, with the Raiders. And this isn't going to make Uncle Brent happy, but we're going to go under 7.5.
Yeah, I like the under here, and I actually thought about it. I was like, I wonder if Brent actually reads these, which would be an honor, but I didn't want to upset him because I'm a big fan. I just don't know what they do well. You know, they were 6-4 last year, if you remember. They were kind of a feel-good story. They looked like they had a good shot at the wild card. You know, they were rewriting the narrative on the Khalil Mack trade. You know, maybe they didn't get ripped off. Maybe that was a good trade for them. Overcame the Antonio Brown saga. But then it just kind of fell apart. They voted the Jets. They lose by 31 points. They get outscored their next three games, 116-33. They lose to the Jaguars at home. They lose to the Titans by 3 touchdowns at home. And I don't know what they do well. They were 23rd on offense, 23rd on defense. And I think that's a tough division. I went over on the other three teams in that division, so I really couldn't have a fourth over. And I think they have too many questions for me to get to 500.
I think we might be on speaker there. Bring us back off speaker, Will. We want to hear you well. What's your thoughts on his thoughts on the Raiders there, Michael?
You know, I agree. I'm not sure what they do well. I mean, for $100 million, the Raiders have 11 wins for Alec Gruden in 2 years. And I know he's part of the rebuilding, but I was hoping to see a little bit more spark offensively. You know, they had a great running game. Everybody talks, oh, you got to have a running game. Well, they could run the ball, you know, but they just didn't make enough plays in the passing game. I think instinctively, defensively, like, I think you got to ask yourself the question, have they improved defensively enough to compete with Patrick Mahomes? And I think Will's right. I don't think the answer to that is very good. I don't see how they're going to get out of the West, because they can't beat. They're not going to be able to beat Kansas City. Mahomes is going to have their number.
Yeah, and it's not. I mean, listen. They start on. This is not a schedule. As you dig a little bit deeper into it, it's not a schedule that's advantageous for the Raiders either, as Will points out. Now, a follow up on the Raiders here quickly. And again, you mentioned, I don't know if Brent's reading our literature, but he is passionate about this team, and he would argue they can control the line of scrimmage, Will, on offense and run the football. How would you retort?
I agree, but I kind of think that's their weakness. I think Gruden, I think they're kind of stuck in the 90s. You know, they want to pound the rock. They want to run the ball, but it's tough. It's tough to win that way. It's tough to win the games 20-17 in this era, and especially when you're not good on defense. I'd buy it if, you know, they had the Steelers defense, or if they had one of these top defense like the Patriots, but with a bad defense, it's hard to outscore teams if you're going to be running the ball. Plus you're going to be falling behind a lot if you have a bad defense. I know Jacobs is a good player. Cars dink and dunk to me. They're bad on D. I just don't think that's a good formula. I don't think that works. And like you said, it's hard to beat the Chiefs, you know, 20-17. You got to score points, and I don't see them stopping a lot of people.
And you got to win with the win total. Sorry, go ahead,
Mike. You got to win with your defensive front. Like, you know, they draft Colin Farrell. He doesn't run a 40 in the draft. You know, we can't run. We know he's not going to run better than 4.9. I mean, Max Crosby's their best pass rusher. Then they draft a corner that can't run, and you're trying to cover the Olympic team in Kansas City. I mean, I just don't see how they've matched up their team to beat the team that they have to beat to get through to even get to the playoffs.
Okay, Seahawks, Steelers, Bucks, and Falcons. We've got two unders and two overs coming up with our buddy William Hill, Point Spread Weekly contributor at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. Must follow. Come back with some over-unders. NFL season win totals right here on the Lombardi Line. So here's the question. What does Dad really want for Father's Day? Obviously, it's steak. I'm excited to tell you about this because I did this for my dad 1 year and he loved it. For a limited time, you can find a variety of packages filled with beautiful Omaha steaks, plus other premium meats, side dishes, and desserts. All ideal for a dad's special day. So pay attention, because this is awesome. Your dad's going to love it. These packages come flash frozen, vacuum sealed, and delivered in a cooler with dry ice safely to his door. All backed by Omaha Steaks' unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. So all you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code VSIN, and you're going to get the discount into the search bar, okay? So many packages include free shipping and free one-pound package of their cured, thick, applewood smoked steak-cut bacon, which is delicious. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter the code VSIN, that's VSIN, in the search bar to shop for Father's Day today. That's a great deal. Your dad will love that. I promise you. We welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. He's a father. He's Michael Lombardi. And we're joined by our buddy William Hill. And we're talking over-unders. We're talking season win totals. We just got done with the Raiders. William's going under 7.5 there. William, let's jump into the Seahawks. I know Michael likes this one as well. You're going to go over 9.
Yeah, I like the over here. I just think I have to imagine that they're going to see what everyone else sees and that Russell Wilson's not only their best player, but he's one of the best players in the league, and they're going to use him more. I mean, they like to wait until they have to use him to use him. They like to run the ball early, and then they get behind late, and they use him to come back. It's almost like, you know, it's like they have Emeril Lagasse, and they won't let him cook the appetizer. They won't let him cook the entrees. Then when it's time for dessert, they let him cook. And I have to imagine they'll use him more. They'll let him throw more. And, you know, they were beat up last year. They still got to 11. You know, if you watched that play against San Francisco, they were really the nose of the ball away from winning the division. I actually think he probably got in the end zone on that last play. He couldn't really overturn it on replay because it wasn't definitive. And then if Malik Turner doesn't drop the ball at midfield against the Packers, who knows? Maybe they're playing the 49ers for the third time for the NFC title. I just think 9's a little low. I'm surprised it was that low. I thought it'd be more like 10. I think they're good for double digits. I think they're a solid organization. They have a legitimately great quarterback, and I would go over here.
I'm with you, Will. I mean, and look, if you've ever had Emeril Lagasse's banana cream pie, it is truly the greatest thing you could ever eat. However, that being said, Russell Wilson could, you know, he probably makes a great banana cream pie too, but I'm with you, man. Like, they need to use him in the first quarter. They need to stop thinking they're the old school Seattle. When they were winning in 13 and 14, they dominated teams in the fourth quarter. They can't do that anymore. They're not good enough on defense to dominate and win the game in the fourth quarter. They need to let this guy go. You know what's remarkable last year is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers finished sixth in the first half point differential, and they won 7 games. The Bucs could go get the lead on people. They just couldn't control it. If Seattle took that approach and finished in the top 5 of first half point differential, they easily get over the number, and I think they will.
Well, you said the Bucs. Let's do it, Will. Buccaneers under 10.
Yeah, I just think this is inflated. This is inflated by the public, the media. I just think, I mean, say it out loud. You're going to have a 43-year-old quarterback, and you're going to pick him to win 11 games. I can't do it. I mean, Brady wasn't great last year. I feel uncomfortable knocking him because he's obviously one of, if not the greatest of all time. But he's not in that safety of the AFC East anymore. Usually you start in the AFC East, you know you're going to be 5-1 minimum in those 6 games, and you have Belichick, and you can just kind of cruise from there, and you always have a good defense. I don't know. He's 43. That division's always tough. There's no easy games in that. Even Carolina, they're scrappy. Atlanta's solid. The Saints, we know how good they are. And they have a lot of primetime games. They're going to be on short rest a lot of games. I think it's 6 games where they have less rest than their opponent. For a team relying on older players, that's a bad formula. I just think that number's a little too high to expect him to come in, especially if they don't have any off-season training camp. And maybe Brady's working with the receivers now, but, I mean, what's their rhythm going to be like? What's their chemistry going to be like? I have a hard time seeing them get to 11, which is what it would take to beat. Obviously, you want to stay under 10, but I just think that's jacked up a little bit too much.
If Warren Buffett was a betting man, he would bet the under on Tampa Bay because there's nothing in the portfolio of the Buccaneers that signals over 11, including adding Tom Brady. Last year, they won 7 games. They beat Carolina, didn't turn the ball over. They beat the Rams, only turned it over once. They beat Arizona, turned it over 3 times. They beat Atlanta, turned it over twice. They beat Jacksonville, turned it over only once. They beat Indianapolis, turned it over 4 times, right? Detroit only once. So everybody said, well, Brady will come in and clean up the turnovers. Well, they won games even though they had turnovers. The point here is they were 32nd in the defensive passing report. They were 32nd in penalties last year. They were 29th in passing first downs allowed. I mean, and all this goes into an equation where they actually got the lead at halftime and couldn't hold it. Like, Brady's not going to be able to change that. And I think they're going to make mistakes. I think this is a slam dunk on the under 10.
Search for the best number, shop for it. You can get 9.5 on the Bucs, but you can also find a 10 if you want to go under there. Let's get one more in. I like this one, Will. The Falcons under 7.5.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I wrote up all 32 teams, and this was probably my hardest one. I leaned towards the over at first, but then when I looked into it, the road games are murder. I mean, they have a really tough road schedule. Cowboys, Chiefs, Vikings, Packers,
Panthers on a Thursday night. I mean, they do not have an easy road game all year. There's a chance that, you know, they could be underdogs in seven or eight of them. And I wanted to go over, you know, they were a weird team last year. They were 1-7. They were looking at a top five pick, but they really quietly, very quietly played well the last eight games. You know, they win in New Orleans big. They blow out the Saints in New Orleans, which nobody does. They win in San Francisco. I mean, those two wins right there, those are two as good of wins as anybody has. But I just think the road schedule is too tough. There's no easy games in there at all. And this was a little bit of a coin flip for me, but I just don't think, you know, they don't have much of a pass rush. They're not very good on defense. And I would just lean the under just because of the road schedule and the defense.
Yeah, they're going to count on Dante Fowler to come through. But here's where I think you have to kind of weigh this together. You know, the Bucs, they play the Bucs twice. So the end of the season here with the Falcons, you know, the Falcons, if they don't start out fast, and say they go 2-8 by week, or 2-7 by week 9, by week 10, you know, maybe Dan Quinn's not there. And then the Bucs get to play them twice with the interim coach. You know, I think that's what helps the Bucs. If you think this team can be competitive all the way through and go 7-9, you know, but those two looming games at the end of the year, they're going to be the hit or miss. They're going to send the Bucs maybe to a number they shouldn't be at, or they're going to send Atlanta to that number.
The number 7.5, Will Hill, is going to go under that number. He's our buddy William Hill, Point Spread Weekly. You can read him there. You can read him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Have a great
Will.
Day. Coming up next here on the Lombardi Line, Gord Stellick, former NHL GM. He's going to join us to talk about the plans for the NHL moving forward. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, VSiN's digital magazine Point Spread Weekly is the best tool to improve your handicapping for this upcoming NFL season. The weekly issue offers expert analysis from Matt Eumanns, Michael Lombardi, and the rest of VSiN's panel of experts. So sign up now and get all of VSiN's content free until a major sports returns. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, so Gary Bettman stepped up. I thought that was good to create some momentum, Michael, as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. It was nice to have a commissioner come out, lay out a plan, put a face on it. And again, we know this. We know that the NHL is going to go 24-team playoff tournament, top 12 in each conference, two hubs. Now, they were hoping for four hubs, but they're going to minimize this to two hubs. To talk about what's happening with the NHL, and we'll apply it to the market as well, Gord Stellick, of course, former NHL GM, Sportsnet analyst. You can find Gord on Twitter at Gord Stellick. And as we welcome in Gord, first off, we say thank you very much. Hope you and your family are safe. We say hi, Gord, and ask you, because I know some are dubious about the plan as it sits right now. When you heard Gary Bettman speak and you've had a chance to sit with it, where are you on the proposed plan for the return to play for the NHL?
Real positive. Really pleased to hear it. I think, as you articulated, you know, you can't avoid the different health concerns and other things, but we have to accept that whatever your opinion is, we have to emerge in some way, shape, or form without a vaccine right now. And I think in the case of what the National Hockey League's done, and it'll be interesting to see some other professional leagues, what they do, this is a real good, positive, psychological and moral boost to everybody, even if you're not a sports fan, that they're going to go about their business and in a very, very much modified, different way, and get it done and have some actual live entertainment. I mean, you look at the golf match on last Sunday, you look at the NFL draft, the few live events have been off the charts because people just aren't used to, you know, not having that available. This should be the busiest time of year with playoffs. So I thought it was a very well thought out plan. He didn't back himself into a corner about certain dates as well. There's going to be a flexibility about it. Some things still to be worked out, but I thought given the circumstances, it's a great plan.
Hey, Gord, how are they going to handle the international travel with some of the countries not letting people out and all that? Have they worked on that as well?
Well, I take it, you know, that's the one thing. And I think this is Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, a little bit more up his alley, that it's more chatting with the Canadian authorities right now, because there is the 2-week quarantine that is required if you were to come into the country. And obviously that would be probably a deal breaker, because you can't, you know, you can't have a conference final, then a 2-week break, and then have the final. So and that's probably, like, I got to think one of the hubs is going to be in the East, and the three Eastern teams are Toronto, Columbus, and Pittsburgh. And I would think that would be holding up Toronto's chances is about that. Like, I can't see both hubs, you know, being in the West that way, just as far as scheduling games on TV goes. So yeah, that could be a fly in the ointment, and that would be a deciding factor if both hubs were to be in the United States.
Gord Stellick joining us here, former NHL GM, Sportsnet analyst on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, we can get back to logistics in a second. Gord, I wanted to ask you, as far as, you know, we do deal with betting, we deal with a market. As far as the play that you expect, now there's going to be roster expansion. I think 28 skaters, and you can carry as many goalies as you want per team. You can help me clarify that. Who is going to be most affected by the layoff? Is it going to be the goalies with timing and reflexes on the ice? How would you expect this to play out?
Boy, it really is the wild, wild west. This is uncharted territories. I mean, you've got pretty well every NHL player, aside from, you know, maybe a blowout they do right when the season ends and go away for a couple of weeks, that they're not used to being off the ice for more than two consecutive days. I think one thing that would be interesting, I'll use Seth Jones of Columbus as an example, is that teams were going into the playoffs and hoping that maybe their best players could come back due to injury, Tarasenko, another guy in St. Louis. Well, now, you know, those guys will be back. And also, because they were injured, they had access to the training facilities and the rehab facilities and able to skate where, you know, a lot of other guys couldn't go out and find any kind of ice to skate around. So it's kind of intriguing that way about the injured guys might be ahead of the other guys. I wonder, is it going to be a more boring style? Our coach is going to say, we're going to have to really play like the New Jersey Devils did years ago and play the system, and you get kind of flat games. I hope that skill prevails. I hope, because it's kind of a short-term thing, it's quick up and at it, that the best players are the best players, and you'll see the best players be the best players in the playoffs.
Let me ask you, Gord, one of the eight teams that get the bye, give me one team that you look at and say, wow, they could really dominate there. And of the teams that don't have the bye, give me one that you think's worth a long shot bet on.
Well, not the bye. Everyone just thinks Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens, particularly in a 3 out of 5 series. And I got to think goaltending will be a big deciding point in those 3 out of 5 series that way. So, I mean, even in Florida's case, Sergei Bobrovsky's had a real ordinary season, but all of a sudden, does he play like the guy that got the big contract last offseason? And that could make a difference in their first round against the New York Islanders. So, you know, I look at that one. And another one I kind of look at is Columbus, just because they are had so many injuries. Seth Jones was one of them, and they're coming back as a healthy team in the four. You know, I thought Vegas was on fire at the time of the NHL pause, and I just, you know, they even made a coaching change when things were going great during the course of the season last year. Let's face it, they got screwed in that Game 7 against the San Jose Sharks, which ultimately changed the way video review can now be used in playoff games or in games in general, because of what happened, because of that travesty. But so I just find them, that's been a team on fire and really adapted to Peter DeBoer's little changes and little nuances that I like their chances.
Gord Stellick joining us here, former NHL GM, of course, does a great job with Sportsnet as an analyst. By the way, you gave me the chills as a Red Wings fan when you were talking about that neutral zone trap with Jacques Lemaire and the New Jersey Devils. No, thank you. As far as style of play, Gord, I'm not into that. Now, the favorite, that was bad. hockey. The favorite to win the Stanley Cup right now, odds via BetMGM. The Bruins at 6-1, the Lightning at 6-1, the Blues at 8-1, and the Avs at 9-1. Now, with respect to the top four in the round robin, I have a question for you. Are they going? I understand that the league's going to want those top four seeds in the East and West to get their feet wet while the qualifying or playing round is going on. But are those teams like the Bruins, who had separated themselves, are they going to be hurt by the round robin?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's the one I think that I know the Tampa Bay Lightning originally voted against the proposal. And that part doesn't sit well in that they really are glorified exhibition games. They really are. So, Right. Okay, it matters about seeding. And if it were to come down to a tie, then the fact the Bruins have the best regular season record would work in their favor. But they really are. And then the next round, so they're going to play their first round against a team that could be having phenomenal momentum and a phenomenally hot goaltender that just came off a playoff series victory. So there's a lot of imperfections to this because, hey, you have to. It's just a whole new terrain. It's unique circumstances. But that is the one part I'm curious about, is the second round, which they're calling it the first round. They're calling that what first round, the play-in round. So then the first round of the playoffs. Like, do we get a lot of upsets, which we did last year too, though we did in the first round, but do we get that this year? Does that hold true again? Because it's a winning underdog team going against a team that's been just playing really glorified exhibition games.
Yep. Gord Stellick joining us, and you see the numbers there, Michael, so different at the South Point because they're going to have liability on the Golden Knights at 5-1. Let me ask you, for an audience that loves the Golden Knights, BGK here in Vegas, where you are. I know you mentioned you're bullish on them. Why?
I just think they're a complete team. I really do. They put together the team concept from the word go. And I've always, the defense is what really surprised me. You knew they had a good goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury. They've just kept adding and adding more explosiveness, you know, making trades, adding elite players. And the decor was just a bunch of guys. And really, you know, the Shea Theodores of the world and you know, these guys, Nate Schmidt, I mean, just solid D. So I just like that feel. I find the West is a bit the Wild West right now. I know the St. Louis Blues have picked up from where they left off last year. But, you know, you got teams like Nashville, you know, that have struggled. San Jose won't even be in the playoffs. So there's really been a bit of a changing of the guard there, where in the East, you really expected Boston, Washington, and Tampa Bay to be three of the top three teams, and they've been that way. So, you know, St. Louis should be tough because they're defending champions, and they've been on a tear really since a year ago, January. But I've just Vegas, I just like the way they've played.
Well, there's absolutely nothing better than playoff hockey. And if we can get playoff hockey coming out of this pandemic, that would be the best thing for all of us. Gord Stellick, former NHL GM, Sportsnet analyst. You can find him at Gord Stellick on Twitter. Gord, we needed you today. Thank you for the help.
Thanks so much,
Gord. Real pleasure. Take care, guys. Thanks very much, okay. Patrick and Michael.
You got it, buddy. There he is. That's the one, Patrick, sport, man. Yes.
Do you think we could play it outdoors? I love the outdoor games. I got to tell you, I don't watch much hockey, but I love watching them when they play outdoors. I think it's fun. I think it's exciting. And I know the weather won't hold to that, but I think that's a lot of fun.
I'm in 100% agreement with you. I love the outdoor. Now, I believe they've centered on 8 hubs, and Vegas, by the way, is one of those hubs: Edmonton, Vegas, Chicago. So they're going to limit it to 2 hubs. They were hoping for 4 at first, but again, even if you don't watch hockey in the regular season, once it gets to the playoffs, it is amazing. He did give me the chills when he mentioned the Devils over by you and Jacques Lemaire, and the most boring style of hockey ever played, the neutral zone trap, Michael. I don't know if you remember that, but I hated it.
Well, you know, look, it's all about how we're going to win the game is what matters most. They don't give you style points. This isn't the Olympics, Patrick.
It is not. By the way, your buddy Chris Sims has come out with his top 40 quarterbacks, and either tomorrow or Friday, we're going to have him on. So I look forward to that conversation. Have a great day, Michael.
You too, Patrick. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you to everybody at the South Point. It's the Lombardi Line. We'll see you tomorrow at noon right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.